All right, as we mentioned previously, we have Brother Stephen Orell, who's going to be teaching our class tonight. He is our youth leader, our fearless youth leader, both he and Sister Vanessa Orell. Many great things are going on with our youth. He's one of our leaders and a great role model for us. We're going to go ahead and give it over to Brother Stephen Orell now. Brother Stephen.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Vic. I appreciate those words. And yes, Sunday morning outside. The tents, we had the shade, and it was an awesome service. Tonight, we're going to talk about, in a Bible study, our pastor. Amen. The necessity of having a pastor in our life. And these devotionals have been absolutely phenomenal. I look forward to all the testimonies. And it's amazing to hear. We've heard from people that I've known for 5 years, 10 years, and it's amazing to when we, these devotionals that our saints and our friends are opening up, and we're learning more about our family, our church, and because of it, we're getting closer, and there's this unity that we feel. And so tonight, with that said, we want to dive in the Word of God and what the Bible says about our pastor, our man of God. The Bible is clear that we cannot be saved without a man of God. How can we know where to go unless someone teaches us? And the Ethiopian eunuch, as he was going by the wayside, he opened up and he said, "How can I know except a man teach me?" And we know that Philip expounded him unto him and showed him the scriptures, and he opened up to him, and he needed someone to teach him. That Ethiopian eunuch said, "How can I know except a man teach me?" And thank God that God sent us a teacher in our life, our pastor, and he is teaching us and he is training us. And if you can turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, we're going to go into a couple of scriptures, and this is exciting tonight. As I was going through these scriptures today, it just emphasizes again, diving into the Word of God, how can we know except a man teach us? And thank God for our pastor. We appreciate our pastor. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, "As newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the Word of God, that ye may grow thereby." Peter is talking, and he is telling us like babies. And this scripture means even more to me. When I was a baby, I didn't really, probably all of us, we don't remember being a baby. Maybe some of us do. I don't have any memories being a baby, but I can think with a new insight now that we have Matthias, our little baby, and boy, when he is hungry, and I think he's getting a bottle right now. Vanessa's giving him a bottle, and you know when he's hungry, he's desiring that milk, and he is hungry that he may grow thereby. But this is talking about a spiritual milk. This is talking about the Word of God, and just like that little baby, to desire the sincere milk of the Word of God. Why? So we can grow, church. We need to read the Word of God. And not only just read the Word of God, there's a lot of people out there in the world that understand the Word, and they are well-versed in the Word of God, but they can get a little off, and they can interpret the Word of God maybe out of context and leave it up for private interpretation, and that sounds good. They'll maybe read something, and all they have to counsel with is themselves. If they don't go to church, if they don't have a pastor in their life that we can go to, and we can say, "Pastor, you know what? I've been reading this scripture. What does it mean? Teach me the Word of God." It's always been the will of God that there would be a man of God to lead the way. There was Moses, Elijah, all throughout the Bible. Jesus came on the scene. There's always been a man of God to lead his people. people. It's always been the will of God that a man of God would be able to lead with authority. And we're going to go through scriptures that back up the word of God, that he is able to reprove and rebuke and instruct in righteousness. Jeremiah 3 and 15. I'm going to go through these scriptures. You can follow along or just listen along as I read. It says in Jeremiah 3 and 15, "And I will give you pastors according to my heart." And this is encouraging here, that he's not giving us pastors according to man's heart or man's desires. But he said, God is speaking. He's saying, I'm going to give you pastors. Thank you, Jesus, according to my heart. God is saying, I'm going to give you pastors according to my will and my heartbeat, which shall feed you with the knowledge and understanding, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And we get knowledge from the word of God and understanding from the word of God. We're going to turn to Ezekiel 33, starting with verse 2. This is one of my favorite passages about concerning the man of God and the charge that God has given watchmen. It says, beginning with verse 2, "Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land," or an army in this case, or an enemy, "he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh no warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to the warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity or in his sin, but his blood will I acquire at his hand," the watchman's hand. "Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked or the sinners of his way to turn from their sin," turn from it, "if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity or sin. But thou," speaking of the watchman, "hast delivered thy soul." He's innocent. He's done his job. He's warned the iniquity. He's warned the iniquitors, the sinners. "Therefore, O son of man, speak unto the house of Israel. Thus ye speak, saying, if our transgressions and our sins be upon us, and we pine them away, how should we then live? Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked." God has no pleasure in the death of sinners or in the wicked. "But that the wicked turn his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. For why will ye die, O house of Israel?" So this was a little bit of a lengthy read here, but it is giving charge to the watchmen of the land. And in this case, this is our pastor. This is the pastors of Apostolic Church, the body of Christ. There's many pastors in this area and in this nation and in this world. But for our church, our watchman is our pastor, Pastor Clark. And this is bringing clarity to if Pastor Clark sees an issue, if he sees something that needs to be corrected, he is given charge of God and authority of God to warn us, to help us, to reprove us. Thank God for a man of God that cares enough for us that when he sees something in our life or he's praying, thank God we have a prayerful pastor that he is able to blow the horn. And in this case, it may not be, and it's most likely not going to be a physical enemy, but it's going to be the devil, and it's going to be sin. And if you could picture with me Pastor Clark being on top of a tower, and if our life it can be viewed as a fortress, and we got to guard our souls, we got to guard our heart, like Pastor Brother Rao was talking about, out of our heart, out of our fortress, all the issues of life. We have to guard our heart. And Pastor Clark is there to help us, and he's watching for our souls, and he's praying. And if there's things coming in our life and situations, maybe they seem good, they seem right, that they're going to knock, opportunities going to knock upon our door. Thank God for the watchman. He has the authority and the foresight to look up on that wall and over that wall and to look and to see if this is going to be good for us or if it's going to be a spiritual thieves that are going to come to steal, kill, and destroy us. And we have to have trust in our pastor. I trust my pastor. I know our church trusts our pastor. But when there's things come knocking on our door, it can be very tempting to say, oh, man, I did not see it right now. But I'm here on the other side of that wall. And there's some good things, and they're coming to trade with my life. And it just seems like this is a good opportunity, Pastor. That's when we can say, watchman, watchman on the wall. Who is knocking at the wall? We can look up to our watchman, our pastor, and we can say, Pastor, this is going on in my life. What do you think about it? And he can look over that wall of our life, of our heart and our fortress, and he can see what's on the other side of it. So, and for whatever reason, God has given our pastors after his own heart that he is able to see over that wall. And sometimes we're not going to be able to see over that wall. We have to trust in our pastor that if he looks over that wall and leans over and he's able to see, oh, I don't know about this, I don't feel right about this, then it's our turn to say, okay, Pastor, I trust in you. I believe in your word. Or at that point, we have free will. God's given us free will to make our own decisions. And we can open that door against the word of God and against the man of God and they can come in, they can come into our heart and come into our life and ravage our life. But thank God, and this is not something that the watchman takes pleasure in, to see hurts and to see and to try to be a gossip. It's not that in any way, but the watchman, our pastor, has the authority to look over and to blow that trumpet and to blow that warning. Thank God for our pastor. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2 says, and this is talking to pastors and giving them authority and charge. And this is backing up our man of God and why we believe in the man of God, why we have to have a man of God to be saved. We have to have a man of God in our life. 1 Peter 5 and 2 says, feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not to constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but as a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And thank God for a pastor that is a godly example, that he prays. And if I learned anything in prayer, I've learned it from my pastor as an example. And when the chief shepherd, God the chief shepherd, and then we have pastors that are the under-shepherd under him. It says, when the chief shepherd shall appear, and we're looking for that day he's going to appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, the younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud. And it's normal. We have these feelings and we have this pride that comes upon us that says, and we've all felt it, that I can do this myself and I don't need anyone else to help me. But God, it says that God resisteth the proud, but he's going to give grace to the humble in heart that say, God, I need you. I submit to your word. I submit to the man of God. And there is power in being submitted to the man of God. There is an umbrella of protection that comes with being submitted to the man of God. And yes, it's one thing to say that we're submitted, and it's a whole other thing to show that we're submitted to the man of God. And there's an umbrella of protection, church, that comes with an umbrella of protection that comes with you, to you and your family. Thank God for that umbrella of protection that comes with being submitted to the man of God. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for our man of God. But giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, that God may exalt us in due time. And it's tempting for us to rise up and to try to exalt ourselves or go beyond our time and finding our place in God. But God says to humble yourself in the sight of God, and God will exalt us in due time. Acts chapter 20, verse 26, starting with 26, says, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And this is, I believe this is Paul speaking. Take heed to your, therefore unto yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God. I'm going over these scriptures to back up the men of God that over and over again in the Bible, God has given authority to feed and charge, to feed the flock, and that's us, church. The Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things. It says that men are going to arise within the flock, and they're going to speak perverse things, and they're going to try to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. And that's what our pastor's here for, is to build us up. It may seem like sometimes we're getting torn down, but sometimes our foundation, I know my foundation had to be tore apart because I had a wrong foundation that I was building. And thank God our pastor is there to build us up. He's here to build us up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified, are set apart. I have coveted no man's silver or gold. He said, I haven't taken any bribes. As a pastor, he hasn't taken no bribes or gold or apparel. He's saying he's innocent before God. Yea, yet yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. And thank God we have a pastor that has integrity. And if you are on the line tonight and you need a pastor in your life, I can think no other greater pastor than our pastor. He is a man of God. I want to end with Hebrews chapter 13 and 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Considering the end of their conversation. Remember them which have the rule over you. and thank God that he sent a man after his own heart and our pastor and the under shepherd for our souls. And he's going to give a count for our souls one day when we make it. And it's coming soon. It's coming soon, church, that we're going to be in heaven. And pastor is going to give an account for our souls. Amen. And he has the authority. Amen. Brother Vic.
Brother Stephen Orell, thank you. Thank you so much. What a great lesson, and delivered with such a great spirit and attitude that we heard and that we felt tonight, church. And I'm remembering one of the opening statements that Brother Stephen made, which was, we cannot be saved without a pastor. And I am so happy and grateful, and I know that we are happy and so grateful because we have a great pastor in Pastor Clark and in Sister Clark. What great role models that we have. And as we're closing out here, I just received a text message from Brother Roseberry. I'm going to go ahead and read it. Tremendous teaching. Enjoyed Brother Orell's explanations. True words. Thank God for our pastor and wife. You know, church, I'm feeling an anointing right now. Why don't we just thank God right now for Pastor Clark and Sister Clark. Lord Jesus, we thank you for our pastor and pastor's wife. We thank you, Lord God, for them being so diligent, so faithful, and so careful with a flock of God. We are honored to be able to be a part of this flock, Lord Jesus. We ask you to continue to bless and guide and lead our pastor and wife as they guide and lead us to salvation one day, as Brother Orell said it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And church, we want to remind everybody about our morning manna devotion. Tomorrow morning at 10:15 a.m., we will be hearing from Sister Margarita Camarena. Tomorrow morning at 10:15 a.m., we welcome everyone to come back to this same conference call. God bless all of you, and have a great night in Jesus' name. Amen.